Open your Bibles. Thank you, Lord. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verse 37. Then we'll go right in the fifth verse. I want to do some more predicting tonight. Remember I said in 87 I predict this fresh oil and the revival that is happening and so forth like that? I think Dan, you was going there when that happened. Then when we put that book out and everything, fresh oil from heaven. And so I want to pick up where I left off, I think. Says here, don't laugh at me, having land and sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira and his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, there's nothing wrong with bringing the part. It's just that they were lying about it. They were lying about it. You know, when you come to a minister's conference and you say you're an apostle and you're not, you're lying to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the one that anoints you. Now, this is what the Lord said the other day. I didn't get it out last night. God wanted it a different way, but He said this to me. He says, now I'm going to take you, and I'm going to show you now. Now, we like the laughter. We like the falling out. We like all these things. But He said, now this is going to happen next before we start seeing some of these out. I mean, just what David was talking about. I'm talking about these lame people and these crutches and stuff. We've seen a little bit here and there. I mean, God just can move what He can because of all the brass. And, you know, sin in the church, rebellion in the church, rebellion against leadership, and rebellion in this, and rebellion in that. And, you know, God can, I mean, He in His love and mercy, He can only do so much that we allow Him to do. Can you say amen? So, hallelujah. And kept back part of the price. Some of them do that with tithes. When my big deal goes through, I'm going to buy your Mercedes. I'm going to do this for the church. I'm going to buy all new chairs. Then the money comes in. Then they only bring a certain part and laid it at the pastor's feet. But Peter said, now here's a man being led. Now this is what's going to start happening. This is what I want to predict. This is that. This is what's going to start happening. To pastors that got backbone and will listen to the Holy Spirit. That will listen to the Holy Spirit. It's been happening to me. And I said, I'll go somewhere and God said, I want you to do this. And I said, that's none of my business. That is none of my business. And He says, it is your business now, son. And I know that voice. And I know when He says that. If I don't do it, then it comes on me. And I don't want what comes on you, but not disobeying God. Are you listening to me? Then I do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But these are the things now. Now, we come to laughter. We love that. We love rolling around. We like that. And that's good. I love it too. We saw a lot of that last night. People coming up here with offerings and falling out and rolling on the floor. And man, that's wonderful. It's a good time. But we're talking about miracles. I said, God, you know, there's something here. What are we going to do to get into these miracles that David's been preaching about? These working of miracles, these unusual manifestations that we read about the other night. I was reading out of that book that happened to 1700 to 1800 in those revivals. Where I read about the guy coming in, the power of God hit him, jerking, and he's cussing, and got whiskey in there, and cussing and cussing and cussing everybody out, cussing the Holy Ghost out, cussing the jerks out. And he was so much under that power that it snapped his neck, and he broke his neck and dropped dead. And they called a hearse to bring him in. To take him out, I mean, the mortician in town. Now, that's a sign and a wonder. Well, I don't know if I want that kind of signs and wonders. Well, they're coming, honey. There's so much junk in the church. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thy heart to lie? So see, Satan filled their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. You know, there's people that do that. Come up here and make a pledge and lie and never make it. And they wonder why they have nothing but hell in their finances and everything else. Yeah, I think I will. Hallelujah. That's the truth and you know it. Praise God. Now, this is a little different move tonight. Whiles it remaineth, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing? In other words, you had the power to give it all, but you made a decision that you wouldn't. That you wasn't going to give it all. After you sold the land, you had the money, so you had the power to give it. And thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. Isn't that something? You think you're coming and you're shucking and jiving a pastor and a man or something like that, but you're lying against God. Now, you see how God coordinates here? With the leadership in God and the leadership God, they're together. I want you to know that they are together. They work together. The pastor works God works with the pastor. He don't work with a rebellious person. You got that, Lord? You see that? Hallelujah. Everybody say this: God is for the pastor. God is for the fivefold ministry. You got it? Did the elevator go all the way up on that now? And then when you fight them, I'm not talking about some charlatan that running a church or something. I'm talking about men and women of God. Most ministers are honest. 90-some% are honest and straight, and they love God, and they want to do their best. They could be maybe ignorant concerning doctrines and different things, you know, New Testament stuff, but anybody want to put up with people for 20 years, and, you know, they have an honest heart. Hallelujah, that's interesting. You know, when God tells you to do something, and you have the power to do it, and you don't do it, and you said you was going to do it. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Woo, he fell under the power and gave up the ghost. Now, that is not the Holy Ghost. He gave up his spirit. In other words, his spirit left. That's it, buddy. His saddle was ship home. Now, if you want to go home before your time, lie to the Holy Ghost. He gave it up. He fell. He did. That's it. I mean, how'd you like to have a service like that, and have it in the middle of a bunch of carnal buckets, a carnal church with nothing but a bunch of carnal people, because the pastor kept them that way? These are going to start happening where you're going to see judgment is going to fall. I've seen it through the years of my ministry. I've seen those that would touch my ministry. Spiritually touch it. I'm not talking about me or putting me down or something like that. I'm talking about making fun of the anointing. That's a different thing, brother, when you make fun of the anointing. Everybody say it's different tonight. He fell down and gave up the ghost. And great, now look, notice this, great fear. Now, what kind of fear? A reverence fear came on all them that heard these things. Now, this is what God's going to do. He's wanting us to have a reverence fear, not like we fear snakes and all that. He wants a reverence fear of the things in the church and the things of the ministry and the things of God. Not that we worship a building, but we need the reverence. I was over here and they were moving the chairs, cleaning the carpet Saturday. I was just walking through and looking, and here there was a bunch of gum on the floor. Somebody dropped their gum and put it on the floor. I can't believe, it's hard for me to conceive why anybody would take gum out and put it on the floor in the house of God. I mean, what if Jesus was sitting? I hope some of you that do that, that Jesus will sit down and you think it's somebody else and you look over, there's Jesus as you drop that gum on the floor. Whatever happened to the day that you took pride in the house of God. We're having a convention. There was a whole bunch of people said, well, we need this. We need extra room. We need this to be painted. And they knew, you know, we're building and everything. They said, it's all right, Pastor. We'll take care of it financially. We'll take everything. I'll get my men over here. And because why? Because they took pride in their home church. And that's the way, instead of coming in and, you know, hanging out in shorts and walking in and bless God, let's see what they got, and a kind of an attitude. You ain't going to get away. You get in a meeting like this acting that way, buddy. You see people coming in tonight. I open that door over there and I look around. I like to look around a little bit. I'm always all eyes, watching everything. And people, oh, thank you, Jesus, for that anointing. We just love that anointing that's in our church. Oh, it's anointing. Back over there where they're catering the back for the ministers. It's back in the restroom. People falling out. We just love you, Lord. Instead of acting like, you know, where's the popcorn? Showtime! We come to church and acting that way. Instead of having a reverence fear. Well, this thing is what we're going to see. These things are going to bring some reverence fear back in the church of God. Oh, Lord, we want laughter. We want all this anointing. Is fun. Oh, it's wonderful. I want it. Well, the jerks start happening. You got sin in your life, you know. Sure is quiet in this convention. But I'm predicting to you these things are starting to happen. Some of you will see a little bit of this in some of your ministries. You'll start seeing some of these things, and you'll remember this sermon. Has not lied. You haven't lied to men, but you lied to God. See, you think you're lying to the pastor. You think you're lying to other people, but you're lying to God. You don't pay your tithes. You think you're getting away. You ain't getting away with it. I'm going to tell you something right now. The IRS ain't going to let you get away with not paying your taxes. They'll come and get your farm, honey. They'll come and get your Mercedes if you don't pay them. Now, it ain't God that kills you or anything else. But if you know, he said you're cursed with a curse. So that means the devil will come and he'll get his. He'll get what you don't do what God told you to do. You putting fear in me? I'm trying to put a reverence fear in you of God and his money and your responsibility to your pastors, to your church, and start having some reverence about the things of the church instead of thinking you're going to a circus. We've worked 4.5 years to get this anointing in this church. And I ain't let anybody, we're not going to let anybody come in here and mess it up with your goofy stuff. Or we're not allowing any goofy doctrine. Somebody get in and get goofy doctrine, and some people get a hold of it, it'll take a year to get them all straightened out. Hallelujah. And the young men, well, we got young men in this church, arose. And wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Boy, they had fast funerals. Well, back in the other day, they bury him right away anyway. Isn't that something? And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife... Whoa, this is a long meeting. I mean, after that, I mean, I bet they had everybody's attention. Everybody's going to listen. Nobody's going to be passing notes around now. They ain't going to be passing gum. They ain't going to be drinking, having their milk back there with Oleo cookies. They're eating cookies while the preacher... Yeah, I was the other night. I was stepping over a chair, and I stepped on a whole bag of Oreo cookies in a church. Can you imagine that? No. I said, who are these? And everybody just went out under the power faking it, you know.
Yeah, right.
They knew they had it, man, because it was just one of those kind of nights. I mean, I was walking with a big stick that night, man. You know what I'm talking about, the anointing. Just one of those nights. I got in the spirit, and sometimes this happens to me. I said, now there's a man in here. I'm not going to call you out. And I said, you've been down at, what was it, the Ramada? What was it, the Ramada Inn or Holiday Inn or something there in town? I said, and God give me the number of the hotel where you was committing adultery. And I mean, whew, it got quiet. It was one of those nights. It wasn't the laughter night. It was just a different flow. There's different flows. You know, these people laughing, they think they're going to laugh every night. You don't have to laugh every night, but, I mean, you know, unless that's the way it goes, you know, praise God. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, yeah, that's what we sold it for. Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?" Now look, at tempting the Spirit of the Lord. "Behold, the feet of them which had buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." And then fell she down. She fell out under the power. And straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. You know, we're probably going to have corpse detail ministry of helps in this revival. Just to handle the dead people. Now you think I'm kidding. I'm telling you, God told me. See, here comes the anointing. We're all getting blessed and everything. Then there's another anointing that's coming right behind us. We're going to see a little bit as we go out of this year and go into next year. But you're going to see this heavier anointing where it's going to bring reverence, fear in the local church. And I'm sorry if it's in the preachers, they're going to get it too. You're not going to be able to get away spending up all night watching X-rated movies. You know, me and Pastor Coulter were talking about. Now, we have good friends, and we love our friends, and we still do. But some of them, if we're off, and says, "Well, let's go to a good movie." I said, "Go to a good movie." Yeah, it's entertainment time. We need to relax. How can it be entertainment watching somebody else committing adultery? And I said, "Well, what about that?" "Oh, you know, we just have to blink at that. That's just all in all movies, and you just have to put up with it." My God. What are you doing when you're laying hands on people in meetings? You're transmitting that junk to them. And some of you follow them all over the place. You know, I don't know. I don't want my wife to run around with a minister's... this is a different type of meeting. My wife running around with a minister's wife says, "Well, we're free now. We don't have to preach," and go out and almost live like a devil. My wife ain't going to, she wouldn't anyway. She ain't going to run around with people like that or anybody else. If we're going to get into what, we want these miracles. How bad do you want these miracles that David's been preaching about? If you haven't been in the morning meetings, you've missed out. You need to get the tapes. I'm not trying to sell a bunch of tapes. I'm trying to get the Word of God. They're just wonderful. He's talking about getting into these men, getting into these things. But there's some things that we have to do. God isn't going to say, "Well, I feel fine today. I feel like miracle day," and just like that. When he sent Jesus, that was the miracle day when he rose from the dead, and the miracles are already here. It's just that we got to know how to get them out of the atmosphere, because his power is ever present. They're already here. There's miracles here to be born. They're in the atmosphere. Right now. Right now. Not next week. Right now. Everybody say, right now.
Right now.
Right now he wants to do miracles. When David, I was getting under conviction, I said, "Lord, we don't see those cots coming in our meeting. We don't see those wheelchairs coming in like..." I said, "Now I see him, Benny Hinn's. I see him amp him up and line him out." And most of the Word of Faith preachers are criticizing the guy. I said, "What do you think about that guy?" I said, "Well, he said, the Bible said he'd used the foolish things of the world to confine the wise." What is he, half Jew and half Arab? And got a haircut, looks like a spaceship, and a white suit. Look like a Martian that come down here. Well, he qualifies, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying God is confining the wise with simple things. He's a simple man. And he lines them up right out there. I was sitting one time at a convention with another preacher friend of mine. Of course, since then, he's gotten in the things of the Spirit. And Shambach was preaching. And I was saying, "Amen, amen." He said, "What are you saying, amen? He's an old-time. Listen, an old-time preacher. He's old-time. What are you..." I mean, sitting there like this. Funny, it irritated me. And I said, and then... he emptied out, that night, 5 wheelchairs. Empty them out. And I went like this. "How many have you emptied out in the last year?"
Yeah, that's right.
I shut him up.
Yeah, that'll do.
How many did you empty out? You might teach about faith, but I'm going to tell you something. We need to get back into these miracles, because that's the gospel. That is the gospel. I'm believing for the day. You see that door right there, or in our new building, the day when they start pulling up and bringing cots in here and start bringing wheelchairs in here and bringing it instead of them all coming in and then pushing them all out. And we blame it on, there's a two-sided deal here, my brother. We blame, well, they didn't have enough faith. Yeah, how about the preacher? The preacher's got to have faith, too, and believe in these things. Well, it happened in Catherine Coombs' meeting. No, it didn't. She had faith. God is looking for a man or a woman to work through. And it's all by faith. He's not going to do it by himself. That's just the way the covenant is. That's the way the Bible is. He works through men. Everybody say, He works through men. I wish I had a friend in this church. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now, amen. That's all right. She fell down straight to face. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. See, a reverence fear. Well, I ain't trying to scare the people. No, this is a reverent fear to God and the things of God. We got to get back into the gold. We've got to have it and get back. And you, us pastor, us ministers, it's our responsibility to bring the people. If you're going to follow the people in, they're not going to go. The only thing you're going to get by following the sheep is getting your feet dirty with doo-doo. You got to lead them into these things. It's your responsibility to lead them into the gold. It's your responsibility to be before God and before the Word of God and lead the people into the things of the glory. And what's happened to a lot of us is that we've gotten into the luxury. We got into the prosperity part and the blessings part. And we have gotten lax and we don't pray and we cut out our meetings. And we just have Sunday morning and half a Wednesday night. And we put everything out because nobody's coming. No, nothing's happening. Our Sunday night service is almost as big as our Sunday morning service. And the Wednesday night's almost as big as our Sunday morning service. Because we just kept after it. We just kept after it. We just kept after it. We just keep 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 after it. Just like a bulldog will grab onto somebody and lock its jaw and won't let loose. Determined we're going to have the glory of God. We're going to have these kind of manifestations by the power of the living God. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to this preacher tonight? I'm talking about what he's talking about where they're putting new hips in. People say, well, the reason we don't have those miracles, that was during the 50s, and that was what God was doing at that day. But now it's different. Boy, get that tape of the pastor. We brought in psychology. We brought in all these humanistic things into the church. And that's why it's nothing but brass. Some of it ain't brass, it's tin. And it's rusted at that.
Yeah.
Instead of getting into the gold of the things of the glory. Get that tape. That's what you was talking about. Brought in psychology. Brought all this stuff. Bringing psychology into our teaching and everything. Manipulating people's minds and everything. Instead of being the anointing of God, setting people free by the glory of God. I wish somebody would say amen.
Amen.
Whew. 12th verse. Now notice this. Now notice after all this happened. And by the hands of the apostle were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Notice what happened first. These things are going to happen, are going to bring a reverent fear, and the reverent fear of God and stuff is going to bring the miracle signs and wonders. I predict it, and you'll see it. So what I'm saying, now this refreshing has come to the church. Now there's another part of it that I don't think some of them are not going to like. Because behind this, see, isn't Jesus wonderful? He's sending us a blessing for we bless, getting us all ready and softened up and getting us for the thing of God. And then he's coming with this, where he's going to cleanse the church. He's going to cleanse the church. He's going to clean the preachers up too. Sorry to say, I'm not preaching against preachers. But I say we're all going to have to get our act together if we're going to have these kind of miracles. We can get it. You know, most ministers today, some ministers can get away. I can't. But some of them get away with it. They can go out and preach 20 minutes and then play golf all week and do all these things and play around and do all kinds of things. I know Brother Coulter used to do that as a Methodist church and got how much a year for doing that? A lot of money. He got a lot of money, a house and a car. And he'd preach, put a robe on, go out there. That's all he did, preach, what, 20 minutes, 25 minutes? 20 minutes, and that was it. And then he'd go home. And all week, he did. What'd you do? Play golf. Until his robe got on fire with the Holy Ghost. He's quite a testimony. It really blesses me. I'm sorry to say that has even got into our church. People say, I'm tired of fighting. The reason you're tired of fighting is because you're dead spiritually. Are you listening to me? I said, because you don't fight no more because you're dead spiritually. Are you listening to me? See, you got to realize, when you're hot, the anointing breaks the yoke. They tried to get a hold of Jesus. I brought out this afternoon, but they couldn't. It slipped right through them. Why? Because the anointing was on. When the anointing's on you, all these things, you just slip right through them. The thing, the attacks of the devil and everything else. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I sure help myself. Glory to God. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And all the rest did no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, so much that they brought forth the sick under the streets and laid them in them on beds and couches. Here we go. Now this is what the Lord, when you was reading that, that's when he spoke to you. Remember you was reading out of here? I don't know if you went this far, but you, when you're reading out of that, and the Lord's told me, this is what he said when I went back to my room. He said that the latter has to happen first before this happens. The former before the latter happens. You see that? And beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude of the cities round about. Multitude. Everybody say multitudes. Multitude. What we call church growth, I don't think we've really seen the multitudes. Unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. Well, we don't see no devils cast out in our church. No, because the devils are sitting in the pews. Now here we go. Now this is what's going to happen. And the high priest rose up. The high priest rose up. Here comes the religious leaders. And you know the story here. They laid hands on him. They got thrown in jail. But here, look what happened. And he said, go stand and speak into the temple of the people. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. We get into this kind of living and in this kind of preaching, like that angel I told you about that was I saw the other night. I want you to know they're right there, praise God, with swords and everything else. And they're not going to be able to touch us. They're not going to be able to throw us in jail. Now, you talk about lawsuits. Why do people start dropping dead? You think you can't imagine a Christian suing a pastor because they fell down and got hurt or something. They do it to Brother Hagin. They tried to sue him. Well, I fell down. Somebody fell on me and hurt my arm. So you're going to sue the preacher. Well, the family starts suing. You killed my husband. No, he killed himself. He lied to the Holy Ghost. Now try to tell an ungodly, humanistic, devil-possessed judge that. But they ain't going to be able to touch us. I said they ain't going to be able to touch us. Well, I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm sure helping myself. He told Dad Wigglesworth, I've got to go because the war's breaking out. I've got to get out of Britain. I don't live here. I've got to go back to the USA. You know, the Hitler's coming and this and that. And then he never asked Brother Smith Wigglesworth for him to lay hands on him and bless him and get something. He didn't, but notice what happened. It is true that Smith laid hands on me and imparted something of his mantle to me, but I didn't ask for it. See, these things are done by the Spirit. Now listen, Smith Wigglesworth, here he is, and he says he starts crying. He said he was sitting down and he was crying because he was his friend for 2 years. He didn't see anybody else around there. All the times he was going there, all these people claimed they were with him ain't around. You'll see a bunch of books coming out with Dr. Summerall now that I rode in Dr. Summerall's jet and all this, blah, 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 blah. And that's all it is to make money. They better not do it in this anointing because they'll drop dead lying, saying things that weren't true. Yeah. He said, he started crying. He said, stand up, I want to bless you. And he said, with those big hands, he grabbed me and he pulled me in. And he said, the tears were dripping. And then when he was praying, and then it says, after he was through praying, he looked at me and said, I will not see it, but you will. Dr. Summerall said, what? What are you talking about? He said, I see whole hospitals emptied out by the healing power. And everybody running down the streets shouting and praising God, including doctors. Golly. I see a revival with so many getting saved that no human can count them. Now, Jim was very, he was trying to keep up with that computer last night with that money. It was just coming in so fast, and he was adding it up. The only reason he was adding it up is that, you know, to see, you know, God did what he's going to do. And he's sitting there adding it up. Nita couldn't keep up with us. Where's Anita? but I mean, can you imagine? But he says, look at this. No human can count them. No, so that means no computer will be fast enough. Nothing will be fast enough in this revival that we're stepping into right now. Now, I predict that, first of all, this reverence, fear, this dropping dead thing is going to come through the church. Sure is quiet. You was all shouting a while ago. Last night they were shouting for the prosperity anointing. But they don't want the drop dead judgment anointing. You've helped me this week, David, I'll tell you. Can you say amen? Include it. I see a revival, so many getting saved that no human can count them. I see it in my spirit. But God has already told me that I cannot be here for that, but you are going to be here. Now, you said Dr. Summerall died and he didn't see it. No, you know what he told us? He told me, he says, I saw what the start of it, and it's happening over in China right now. Some of you heard him say, It's happening in China. They said there's an underground church that is moving so fast. Is this true? You're from the Asia. He said, underground. He said, people that are under 60 years old and they drop dead, they raise them from the dead. He said, when I was there, were so many people being raised from the dead because they read it in the Bible. He said, I saw the start of it, what Smith Wigglesworth said. I want you to know it hasn't really hit in America yet, but it's on the planet Earth. This anointing is on planet Earth. And the pastors would get up and they would preach and the communists would come in and grab them. And one guy, he said this the other night, Dr. Summerall, to us, a bunch of preachers in the back room. He said there was one of the pastors that I was just with him a few days before. And he said they cut his part, they hit him with a machete and cut part of his head off and his brain. And the dogs were up there eating his brains. And the communist said, now let's see you get resurrected from the dead. Those religious people do not want these kind of miracles. They didn't want Jesus with anointing. Jesus! It's already happening on this planet Earth. I want to kick myself. He said, why don't you go over there with me? And I was busy. Oh, God, I wish I went. I wish I went with him. Yourself. We wish we went to see what's going on in China. Is this true? Have you heard part of this, brother? Every day in China, people being raised from the dead. They don't know how many get born again, but behind the scenes, and the communists are trying to stop it, and they can't. They're cutting their heads off and cutting their brains out and letting the dogs eat the brains. He says, now, who are you going to resurrect? You ain't going to resurrect anybody. And they're paying the price. You get a little persecuted. We didn't have enough money this week. And crying to have a fit, and your wife has to console you as you're laying over there in Palm Springs. Consoling your wounds. Am I doing all right, Mom? Thank you. I preach it, she said. Amen. These things are happening already on the planet Earth. You know, I go in some churches that are not really what I'd call my kind, my stream, with word of faith and spirit. But I go in some missionary churches, they're so hungry for God, they'll pray all night, and they're so hungry. And I like those kind of people that are hungry. And I'm going to associate myself with them. I don't care what my faith is, associate with them, they walk in unbelief. Well, yeah, but you think you got faith and you don't. And here are these people praying day and night for souls. I know. Janet wouldn't like me to say that, but there's times when she'd be down here with a map, laying out here, laying on the top of the map, late at night, crying out to God for souls to get saved. And some of us say, 50 minutes, I want my word of faith message. And out. People are teaching now, you don't even have to pray. Some people say, it's all you have to do is say it, and you don't have to pray. You don't know the Bible. I said, you don't know the Bible. I said, you don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible. There's all kinds of different types of prayer. That's false doctrine. That's going off in another ditch. Getting off of these extreme things. Praise God. But I'm saying to you what God said when you was delivering that out of that scripture over there. God spoke to me right there and said, this is what I was going to preach it last night, but God went a different way. But I knew sometime in this convention I would. He said, coming behind this refreshing wave. He said, now we're going to be start coming. He said, the latter part of this year, we're going to come in this kind of anointing, Ananias Sapphira anointing. Because the church, we got to get the brass and the sin out of the church. I wish I had a friend in this church. I wish somebody had helped me out here. Will you help me out just a little bit once in a while? Thank you. But it's the truth. I said it's the truth. We got to get hungry. We've got to get hungry. Get back to the day. You remember when we used to go to us Word of Faith people, and it didn't matter day and night. We'd go and sit in the Word, get our 5-inch reel tapes, and listen to them day and night. Carry our Bibles, carry our concordance now. And just be hungry and sit in a place and just sit there all day long listening to the Word of God. I pray for that hunger to get back into the church, that we have a hunger for miracles. We have a hunger for the supernatural thing instead of making everything comfortable for everybody. Put the flesh down. Now I'm going to tell you, if your congregation is dictating to you what kind of services they want, when they want to come to church, you're following the sheep. And your feet stink with doo-doo. Get before God and ask Him what kind of church He wants, not what the sheep want. And I could hear the organ playing. Thank you. Hello, is anybody in there? It's going to happen. I predict it and it'll come to pass. I know it well. I know the voice of the Lord and I know the mantle that's on me. And I know these things are going to start happening. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know my wife made mention of this the other night, or the other morning, whatever, and I was in a meeting. I was just minding my own business. God dealing with me about the prophetic anointing, and you know, and I'm trying to find my place. You know, I just kind of trying to find my place in the body of Christ, because a lot of places I don't seem like I belong here. Don't seem like I belong here. And You know, you just feel out of place somewhere, and I'm just praying about the prophet's anointing and everything else, and I got into this church. Len Mink was leading the singing. He was the guest there among many of others. And I was my night to preach. Bob Lemon was there. Mark Brzee was there. And several other speakers were there. It was my night. They, you know, advertised as a miracle night. And I get up. I'm sitting there waiting to get up. And the Spirit of God speaks to me and said, they're swapping wives in this church. And I said this. Isn't that interesting? I said, it's none of my business. That's what I say. I always say that. Hoping that maybe he'd forget about what the conversation was about. Because I know when he says that I've got to do something. And I said, well, Lord, that's none of my business. And I was hoping he'd say, yeah, you're right. We'll just forget about it. It's none of your business. He said, yeah, and it is your business tonight. This is my business. Now, I want to tell you, now, why would you do that publicly? I don't do that too much. But I did it in that place because God was dealing with him to do something about it. I said, Lord, I can't go no further back. He says, when he hands the service over to you and introduce you, you're the prophet of that meeting. For that time you're up there, you're the prophet of that meeting.
That's right.
I want to do everything ethical. But see, you got to understand that a prophet has a higher anointing, not more important than the pastor. A pastor anointing is very important. But when you place somebody in that position, it overrides that higher anointing to flow in the body of Christ to do something. You judge that. And see, we get in fear because, well, I got to submit, you know. But when he that's what the Lord taught me. When you go in, you do. He says he gave you permission and he gave you the service. So you got to walk in it, if they like it or not. And then I got up and I said, now the Lord said, I got to obey God. And the pastor, you know, he's looking at me. Oh, my God, what's he going to do? You know, like those looks you get. And I'm just young at that back and then. I still am, but I mean, my legs were shaking. I said, there's three men in here, and you're all swapping wives. And, I mean, you talk about getting quiet. Now, this is an Ananias Sapphira type of anointing. Nobody dropped dead that I know of. Well, the church did. I'll get into that. Church dropped dead. And I said, now you can come up here and repent. God's been dealing with you, and now you're a hypocrite. You're acting like you come in here and worship, and you're a hypocrite. Everybody say a hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
See, you don't hear too much about hypocrites in preachers' sermons today. You're wonderful, you're great, you know, just fornicate, adultery, God forgives you, you're under grace. Just you're wonderful, you're great. You're a shining star. Your star's going to hell if you don't get right with God. I'll tell you that right now. Well, you're a sin preacher. No, I'm not preaching against anything. I'm just preaching the Word of God. I'm telling you what. I'm preaching against the devil. And I said, now you can come up here and repent because you're a hypocrite. The Bible says to rebuke hypocrites publicly. Now, with the Bible, I'm talking about Bible way. Hypocrites, it's all right. Now, if somebody's fallen in sin or something, you're not to do that. You know, help them out behind the scenes or something like that. I said, God, well, let me just call the pastor and you show me who they are. He said, no, it won't work that way. See, you got to do it his way. He said, it will not work. You got to do it this way. I'm trying to get out of it.
Please turn your tape over to side 2 now.